Dear Heavenly Father, we're about ready to approach the throne room of your word. And Father, we'll give it respect for what it is due. And so, Father, as I share with your people today the awesome truths that we find in your word, may they get a hold of it and run with it in Jesus' name. And we thank you for it. Amen and amen. Well, last Sunday morning, we started out with the issue of the tithes. Many people seem to think that the tithe has been done away with because Christ came. And so we started out by showing you some scripture about the present day ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. We talked about the widower with the mite. And too many people don't understand the giving of the widower in his mite. But it is an awesome truth, because we are giving to an awesome God. Amen. And so many people don't understand that whatever the word spells out for us to live off of and to do, you have been fashioned and designed to be able to do the word of God, because you are a spiritual being and not flesh only. Amen. The thing about being a believer is that we're commanded to grow up. We are not to stay in a baby state, but to progress and to grow upward. That is the whole essence of our faith in the Word of God, is to bring us to maturity. And the blessings of the Lord are commanded at the household of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And so when we are serving such a wonderful, wonderful Redeemer, that is where the blessings of the Lord will flow. When we're at the feet of Jesus, the blessings of the Lord will flow. Amen. Now, we were talking in Hebrews chapter 7, so if you want to, turn over there to Hebrews chapter 7. And I'm going to prove to you by the Word of God that the giving unto the Lord has not ceased. The tithe has not ceased. The priesthood has changed, but the giving has not ceased. Somebody said, yes, but giving today is from the issue of the heart. Absolutely. But I am sad to report to you that the prosperity teaching that has been given to the church has really been covered up in the deception of law rather than the joy of giving. And I think that many of these ministers have cut our own throat, because through their teaching about giving to God has been more from the position of law than it has from the position of grace. Amen. And so what they've done is they've defiled the house of God by the way they've been teaching in giving to God. You've already had the blessings of God thrown on you through Jesus Christ, and you can't do any more to add to it or take away from it. And that seems like an easy thing to say, but it is a profound revelation. And many believers do not understand that they live, their faith is to be lived out of their hearts and not by the works of the flesh. Not by law. And it will never change. God will always bless according to the issue of our heart. And that's one thing that we can't get away from, is where we stand with our heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we're going to get into Hebrews 6 and 7 here again. And I want to establish something. So if you have pencil and paper, I want you to write this down. Because in order to understand the book and anything that we take out of this book, you have to understand what the purpose of the book of Hebrews. You have to understand the purpose of the book of Hebrews. The purpose was because many Jewish believers, having stepped out of Judaism into Christianity, want to reverse their course in order to escape persecution from their countrymen. You want me to say that again? You might write this down, because you need to know this. The purpose of the book of Hebrews, why it was written, was because many Jewish believers, having stepped out of Judaism into Christianity, want to reverse their course in order to escape persecution by their countrymen. So the writer of Hebrews exhorts them to go on to perfection. His appeal is based on the superiority of Christ over the Judaic system. How many following me? And you know what grieves me is the fact that many Christians are reverting to Judaism. I call that insanity. Because they are violating the entire text of the book of Hebrews when they do that. Thank God I had the opportunity. One man opened his heart up and he let me speak into his heart and he caught it. And then he told me the testimony that there are many Christians reverting to Judaism. I'm going to tell you something. When you really think about that, can you imagine being back in the day, in that day? And here you are, a Judaizer, and not realizing even the devout Jew who is true to their God would not grab a hold of the person of Jesus Christ and Judaism at the same time and bring them together. They would not do that. And the reason they would not do that is because they know whom they serve, even though it's the wrong person. Are you following me? They're not divided and they're thinking, if I'm a devout Jew, I am not going to go and put my hand on Jesus at the same time. Right. Now, that kind of person God can work with. But when you've got a person who puts one hand on Judaism and one hand on Christ and says he's of the both, that is a confused individual. He don't know which camp he should live in. And the sad thing about it is, the devout Jew don't want nothing to do with the Judaizer, and the devout Christian don't want nothing to do with the Judaizer. He's in this no man's land. He doesn't know where he belongs. He's not accepted by God, and he's rejected by the Judaizer, or Judaism. And so he's not really accepted by anybody. And so the purpose of the book of Hebrews is to... The writer, which I believe is Paul, he wanted to separate or make a distinction between the two. And so, we're talking about the tithe here, and we come down, and that seems to be the issue that's brought up in Hebrews chapter 7, is the issue of the tithes. Well, first of all, there's some things that are very amplified, and at first I didn't understand this passage. Because there was this argument going on that when you had received Christ, the law was done away with. Well, how many of you know that that's an element of truth to it? The law had been done away with. But how is the law done away with? The law had been done away with because there was a covenant change. Right. Now, if there is a change of covenant, then there must also be a change of priesthood. Yep. Yep. Amen? Now I want you to get a hold of this. If there had been a change of covenant, then that also requires a change of priesthood. Then there must be a distinction between the Old Testament priesthood and the New Testament priesthood. Yeah. Amen? Amen? How many are following me? Now, I'm going to prove to you by the Word of God the reason of the purpose of the tithe being brought up. See, a lot of people don't understand. Why is the tithe brought up? Well, then why do we bring up the issue of the law? What is the change of covenant? What was the significant thing about the change of covenant? Here it is. The Old Testament covenant required that the law be fulfilled through the flesh. That's obvious. I mean, it don't take no student of the Bible to figure that one out. It's well established. And so something had to be done about fulfilling the law, but the law couldn't be completed by anybody because the flesh couldn't do the law. So God had to change covenants and change the priesthood. So one priesthood involved many priests who could not live eternally, and another priest who came into being that was a perpetual eternal being. So between the two, we've got the Aaronic priesthood and Jesus. And his priesthood is eternal. So, the changing of the covenants also changed the position of the law. It didn't do the law away with the law. It changed the position that law takes. Law, through the Levitical priesthood under Aaron, had to be performed through the flesh. But the righteousness of the law cannot be done through the flesh. So when there was a changing of covenant, there also a change of priesthood. And because the priesthood has now changed, something took place so that the law could be completed through the new covenant. Good news, huh? The law isn't done away with. The law changed position. It changed from the duty of the flesh to the duty of the Spirit. Which means the law can be fulfilled through the Spirit of men whom Jesus qualified to be perfect before the Father. So the law can be complete, but it can't be completed in our flesh. It has to be completed through our Spirit. So we can do or fulfill the law. But by going back into Judaism, you're miserable because now you've disqualified what you are spiritually to fulfill the law. Why? Because the new covenant has this requirement. Are you ready? The new covenant. You might want to write this down. The new covenant is written on the tablets of the heart of man. Guess what? It's not on stone. Why? Because that represents hardness, the inability to be flexible. It is something very firm that cannot be changed once it's there. But oh my gosh. He writes it upon the tablets of the heart of men now. What? The law. So that they will do the law. What? He changes their heart to do the righteousness of the law. This is very interesting. Very interesting. Now, we find in Hebrews 6 that our forerunner, which was Jesus, entered within the veil. As once a year the high priest in the Old Testament entered in behind the veil. And behind the veil was the Ark of the Covenant. Amen? And so the high priest did the duties behind the veil once a year. And one thing that he did is he represented through the blood of animals the redemption from sin that only the high priest could do. And that's what he represented. And notice it says here, that Jesus, being a forerunner, has entered for us, having become a high priest forever. And I want you to underline this. According to the order of Melchizedek. According to the order of Melchizedek. So Jesus is a high priest. according to the order of Melchizedek. Now, what really caught me is why did they make the issue of the tithe rather than any other part of the law? For an example, they went right to the tithe. But you know, I have this mind that says, because I'm a textual meditator, I don't meditate expositorily. I used to. I meditate by text, the subject or the theme. Once I get that down, then I know how to be more clear at drawing other scriptures from other passages, because the other texts or themes would complement that one text. Are you following me? So I wouldn't be pulling scripture out of their setting. And so when I looked at this, I said, now, why did you bring up the subject of the tithe? And the Lord said, because the tithe was before the law, during the law, and after the law. And he says a converted Jew knew that. They didn't have a problem tithing. They were doing it. But the converted Jew to Jesus was not tithing to the devout Jew. He wasn't tithing to a devout Jew. He was a tithing or giving of his tithes to the apostles. See, I never saw that until the Lord said, well, were they giving their tithes to the Judaic temple, or did they switch and give their tithes to the Lord Jesus? And so I started checking up, and they were giving their tithes to Jesus. And guess what? Jesus was accepting them. Hello? Now, did Jesus also support the synagogue with a tithe? Yes, he did. Yes, he did. So tithing was never really ceased. But where did it start? Well, tithing started with the heathen nations. They decided to give great honor to their king. So when they conquered a land, it was customary for them to give the best of the land to their king. And in some cases, in the Roman rule, they spent a whole year preparing an offering for the king or Caesar and paraded it before him, because that was their expression of how great Caesar was. Now, I thought it was very interesting. It said, consider how great Melchizedek was, that Abraham even thought of giving a tenth to Melchizedek. How great this patriarch is, that even Abraham would give a tenth to him. How great? Well, you know, God owes everything. He should not have stopped at a tenth. Should have gave him everything. Listen. He was giving honor to Melchizedek like the heathen nations would give to their own kingdoms. You see, Abraham came out of Chaldeans. And Chaldee was very steeped in foreign worship and following foreign gods. So he knew what it meant to honor his God. In Genesis 13 and 14, we covered that last week, where Abraham met Melchizedek and gave him one-tenth of the spoils. Then the king of Sodom came in there and said, okay, he says, you can even have mine, but I want the souls of men, which he wanted, which was Lot and those that followed him. And this was before the judgment of Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham, it says, he lifted his hand up in ratification of a covenant. And he says, I don't want your wealth, O king of Sodom. He says, I don't want nobody to ever say that they made me rich but God. So he refused to take Sodom's wealth. Now the people followed the king of Sodom, but they followed on their own. Are you following me? And so that's how the story of Lot and his bunch got into the Sodom and Gomorrah. Are you following me? But there was a great number of them that remained with Abraham. And of course, later on, you know the story that Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed by God. The problem is, thank God that Lot and his bunch was pulled out of that city before the destruction came. But anyway, to make a long story short, Abraham was honoring Melchizedek, the priest of the Most High God. Now, let's follow this understanding here. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the high God, who met Abraham, Genesis 13 and 14, returning from the slaughter of the kings, and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being translated king of righteousness, and then also king of Salem, meaning king of peace. Without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like the Son of God, remains a priest continually or perpetually. Now consider how great this man was, to whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of the spoils. Man, what a statement. How great this man is, that Abraham would give one tenth of his spoils. Now, some people say Melchizedek was a pre-incarnate Christ. He was not. We're not sure where Abraham came or Melchizedek came from. But scripture here tells us, especially in specific verses, that Melchizedek was not the pre-incarnate Christ. He was a type of Christ, but he was not. He's called a man. You don't find, even in the Old Testament, when the angel of the Lord appeared, he was called the Lord. This angel would allow men to bow to him. Jesus, the pre-incarnate Christ, took on the seed of an angel, but never held on to it. And they could do that. But some angels, they were not allowed to do that. Why? It was not the pre-incarnate Christ. And it says right here in Hebrews, it says that Jesus took on the seed of Abraham and never let go of it. And so Jesus was manifested in flesh. But now notice what he said here. He said, without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like the Son of God, remains a priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, to whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of the spoils. And indeed, this is important, and indeed those who are of the sons of Levi, who receive the priesthood, have a commandment to receive tithes from the people according to the law. Underline according to the law. They were to receive the tithes of the people according to the law. That is, from their brethren, though they have come from the loins of Abraham. Who? Levi. Because you see, Abraham fathered that nation. There was not a Jew that existed before Abraham, because Abraham was the father of the nation that conceived it through Isaac. And so we see here, he says that Levi was in the loins of Abraham. Now follow me real close. But he whose genealogy is not derived from them received tithes from Abraham. What is that statement saying? He's saying, but he, Melchizedek, whose genealogy is not derived from that, meaning Melchizedek didn't come from a Jewish descent. Right. Now follow me. But he received tithes from Abraham and blessed him, who had the promises. Who did? Melchizedek blessed Abraham, whom had the promises. Not Melchizedek, Abraham. He had the promises. Now follow me real close. Now, beyond all contradiction, the lesser, who would that be? Abraham. Say it real loud. Abraham would be the lesser of this transaction and is blessed by the better. Who would the better be? Melchizedek. Now, me having this Greek mind, when I read this out of the interlinear, it puts a shock in you. Because Scripture have what you call tenses. Past tense, present tense, future tense. Amen? Yep. Let me ask you something. When you're talking about Abraham and Melchizedek, is that past tense, present tense, or future tense? Past tense? How do we know that? Because we weren't there. Was you all there? If you was there, come up here. I want to possess you and sell you as an antique. Okay, you've been around a long time. Somebody said that lady up there in Yelm got that spirit that talks out of her. I believe that. I believe that spirit's been around hundreds of years. He just found a vessel that he could speak through. And if she don't get delivered that thing, she'd burn in hell like the rest of them. Anyway, so that's how it could be possible that you would still be around if a spirit was in you. It's been around, but not your body. Unless you prune to the prune. Now notice this. Verse 8. Circle that little letter there, 8. Circle it. You know what this is in the tense? Present tense. What do you mean by present tense? Well, first of all, present tense means continued action. Presently. An action presently existing. Amen? Which means when the writer was writing to the Jew that was converted to Christianity, one go back into Judaism, he was presenting them with an issue. He was saying this, really. Here, mortal men, he didn't say Levi. He said mortal man is receiving a tithe, but there he receives him. Who would that be? Melchizedek? No. It isn't Melchizedek? Who is it? Who is it? I'll give you a little clue. Look at this word here in verse 8. Here mortal men receive tithes, but there he receives them, of whom it is witnessed. Underline, it is witnessed. Underline that. It is witnessed that he lives. Who would that be? Jesus. So he jumps from the past right into present tense. This is what threw me off for a long time in the argument. Has the tithe been done away? Well, then why would he drag the tithe over into a present tense situation? Because then that would mean that here mortal men that are receiving a tithe is also accepted by Jesus. It couldn't be Melchizedek. See, that's why I kept trying to throw this out at mentors. That how can you change the... It would have been better off if he'd approached it a little differently to do away with the tithe. Now notice this. Whom it is witnessed, verse 8. Jump ahead to verse 17. Jump ahead to verse 17. For he testifies wrong. For it is witnessed. For it is witnessed. You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. Who would he be talking about there? Would it not be? Can I hear a J? Can I hear an E? Can I hear an S? Can I hear a U? Can I hear an S? What does that spell? I was hoping you wouldn't say Mickey Mouse. He said Jesus. Notice he said it is witnessed. Go right back to verse 8, present tense. And here mortal men receive tithe, but there he receives them of whom it is witnessed that he lives, Jesus. Yes. So he's telling a converted Jew that wants to go back into Judaism, then where's your money going to go? Is it going to go back to Melchizedek? No, it wouldn't go back to Melchizedek because it never went back to Melchizedek. The Levi had to tithe to Aaron, the high priest. So let's continue on. Even Levi, he separated mortal men from Levi. He said, even Levi, who received tithes, our translators, people, I'm doing the cross for them. Because they don't know that they can't translate a verse they don't understand. Notice what they said there in their translation. Paid tithes through Abraham, so to speak. That is not the way it's written. The translators put in there paid tithe. Did Levi pay tithes to Melchizedek through Abraham? Do you believe that? We got a problem there. How can me, Levi, pay tithes to Melchizedek if I'm supposed to pay my tithes to Aaron? So there's got to be a different wording here. And thank God there is. You want to know what the Greek has there? They don't have their paid tithes. Really, it says, they have been tithed while they were still in the loins of Abraham. Wait a minute. How could they be tithed in the loins of Abraham? I'll tell you what he's talking about here. Even Levi, who received tithes, had been tithed through Abraham, so to speak. Here's what he was saying. The Levi priesthood has been established in the tithe through Abraham. The Levitical priesthood had been established in the tithe through Abraham. So if him being the father of the nation that is to come, then when he gave a tenth to whom? Melchizedek, he was establishing a precedence for the priesthood that would come out of Abraham. Are you ready? For Aaron's priest. Aaron, the high priest, because he would take the place of Melchizedek. It would be Aaron, the high priest, over the Levites or the Levitical priesthood. Are you following me? Did you get that, John? If you got it, I know they got it. If you didn't get it, I got to go over this. He wasn't, the translator said that, but really what the writer Paul was saying, look, you guys, you want to go back into Judaism, then where is your money going right now? That we haven't commanded you to cease. You know why it wasn't commanded for them to stop tithing? Because they had a priesthood they had to take care of. What priesthood? Number one, the apostles. Number two, Jesus. Number three, those that had been appointed into ministry. They had to have a means to live by. Do you know what a church lives off of, people? Your tithing. Now here's where the New Testament believer has perverted it. They said that if you don't give God what's due Him, you're cursed. You're a robber. Listen, there ain't no amount of money you could withhold from God that would ever turn Him to the value of a person's soul. You know what that's called? Yee-haw! Yee-haw! It's called being a donkey. I like the word jackass. Because it has a more of a degrading punch to it. I'm sorry I'm being that way, but... So he jumps from 7 to 9, and he throws this 8th verse in there. And he said they continued to tithe, but to a different high priest. They were tithing to a higher priest. They weren't tithing to Melchizedek. Now notice this. For he was still in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. That's Levi. Therefore, if being complete were through the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise according to the order of Melchizedek and not be called according to the order of Aaron? Now, he says something here. If you want to go back into Judaism, that means that you're also going to have to switch your giving. Your giving then would have to go back for the sake of the temple. The temple being under the Aaronic priesthood's establishment. Can I get an amen? And so he's saying here, if that's the case, then why in the world would you even bring up the issue of another priest if the Levites were giving in a completeness through law? Because it was under the law of the tithe, verse 5 above, that they were commanded to tithe. Yeah. Right. You know what verse 8 should have said? It says, therefore, mortal men receive money, but the tithe was done away with. The tithe is finished. Well, what part of the law is finished, people? What part of the law? I'll tell you what part of the law is finished. Doing the law through my flesh. That's finished. Why? Because I pay my tithes out of my heart, not out of my flesh. Well, what happened if you just don't have a tenth? Oh, how about the widower's mite, which you might not have heard about? Well, I got to make my mind up. I got a bill to pay or I got a tithe to pay. Well, forget the tithes. Pay the bill and believe God for seed towards the tithes. And in that operation, God will move the blessing. He'll command the blessing where you've sown something to give an increase to it. Right. And you know why God wants to give you an increase? So you have more than enough to pay all your bills and still be able to go to the full tithe. What a profound revelation. You know what? When a person withholds any seed from the kingdom of God, you know what they're telling you? I've had them tell it to me. I know I'm supposed to tithe, but you don't understand the financial position I'm in. Well, let's apply that to physical healing. I know the doctor said you're going to kick the cricket. You're going to kick the boat. Therefore, get a hold of the promises of God and believe in the promises of God. Well, then why don't you say the same thing? I just don't have it to give of myself to the promises. And so you can crawl quicker. Is that all right for me to say it that way to you people? You know, God's not up there calculating whether you're giving a tithe or not. He's up there wanting to know where your heart is. You know, and if Jesus is such a great high priest over you, why wouldn't you want to go to the tithe? You got a heart problem with Jesus? Hey, you got a heart problem with Jesus, people? If you got a heart problem with Jesus, you got a heart problem with me. And you know what? You know where offenses and hurts come from? Flesh. But if God is able to reach your heart and is able to do something with disciplining and training you, guess what? A root of bitterness won't come up in you. And there are Christians who have a root of bitterness in the issue of the tithe because it has been perverted by ministers who take it out of the issue of the heart and put it in the issue of law. I could pick it up right away. I could pick it up jack quick. You know how I got to the tithe? I started with little seed. No tithe.
Little seed.
Somebody says, but it's the law of sowing and reaping. Really? Guess what? I sowed one little seed. I did not sow 10%. I sowed a seed. What happened? The seed blossomed beyond 10%. If you talk about the law of sowing and reaping, what is your little seed? Is it? Is it 10%? When you put one little seed in the ground, all of a sudden, one day you come there and, eek, something's coming out of the ground. Shh. And it blossoms into a full tree. Now count the seed out of the full tree. And you know how it grows? It grows out of your heart, people. The groundwork of your heart. I had that song grained in me. If I give, I'm going to get a return. And I went to bless a minister with $100. And I couldn't wait to run out of my car and write him out the check and run back in. And as I got to the car, I was writing out, God said, if you're writing that check because you're going to get a return in me, forget it. He says, all I want you to do is give that money to him because he has need of it. But Lord, that's kind of different when I've been taught. He says, bless their darling hearts and stupid heads. He needs the money, give it to him. What? You got it. You got it, you give it. What if I don't got it? If I tell you to give it anyway if you don't got it. Because I'll see to it, you get it. You know, I've been led to give when I was down to the wire. I've been led to give. And guess what? Oh my gosh, I was not disappointed nor found to be ashamed. Oh my gosh. My wife knows how to follow the Spirit. We made a decision to sell a cassette player. And she said, I don't believe we should. I really feel that it's against him. And I'm driving down the street and I says, God, I ain't got no money to give you. I only got $2. And God said, that'll do. But God, I need $1,000. I'll take two. And I asked God, why are you taking $2? He said, because you need $1,000. But that's not 10% of $1,000. He says, I don't care. If you got some seed, I'll work on that puppy. He says, by the way, you shouldn't sell that cassette duplicator because you need it for these classes. I called Sue. Remember I called you and Sue said, oh, a guy came and bought it. And what happened, Sue? That very day, in the mail, came a check from somebody that knew me from Oregon, and she went to write out her bills. And as she opened her mouth to praise the Lord, as she's writing out her bills, out of her mouth came this prophecy. And $1,000 for Jan. She hadn't seen me in a long time. So she sitting there, and out of her mouth came, and $1,000 for Jan. Do you know what? That God never approached somebody that couldn't give it. He approached somebody that could. Because this lady was well off to do. And so she said, when she sent the check, she said, I don't know what this is all about. Jan, she didn't call me pastor because I wasn't a pastor. She said, but God told me to give you $1,000, exactly what I needed. And guess when this was? 6 days before. But before they call, I will answer while they're yet speaking. I'll wait for another request. You know how little we live before. Some of us are living under the barrel. The barrel's on top of us and it's full. And we want to know why we're carrying such a burden around. And God's saying, I'd like to take the barrel off you if you let me. Now notice he says here, therefore, he says the people receive the law of giving, the law of the tithes, because you've got to leave it in its text. He said, for the priesthood being changed is a necessity, there also is a change of the law. Yep. Why? He was telling them that if you're still tithing, if you're still giving, are you giving it to the Aaronic priesthood? Are you giving it to the New Testament church? Who are you giving your money to? If you're going to go back to Judaism, then your change of giving is going, your place of giving is going to change. Yep. Are you guys getting something? So how do you give today? You give out of the law of giving written on your hearts. That's how you give to God now. Not by a law, a carnal commandment. By the issue of your heart. Now we're going to have communion today. Some of you have not believed God, but yet you believe for yourself to get into debt to the point you can't even give anything to God. You need to repent. Because you've opened yourself up to the wisdom of Satan to keep you so strapped, you'll never get to the tithe. And you know what God wants? He wants everybody in the position to tithe. Why? It's more blessed to be in the position to give than to receive. Some of you have had money that belonged to God and you've never even given a tithe off of it. Somebody came to me and shared this with me. This guy is the best giver in the church. And I said, oh, really? Oh, yes. He's a multimillionaire. Best giver we got. I said, really? You know what the Lord spoke to me and said? No, he's really the worst. And I said, well, God, how could he be the worst if he's the best? He says, that's from man's viewpoint, not from mine. He says, because what he's retaining, he can really give to me. He could put that care, the stewardship of that in my hands. And I guarantee you, it would go to where it belongs. And I would even increase him more. And I said, well, then the minions he's got, he says it's made by his own hands. He learned the principle of not being a sluggard, and he gained his wealth by his own initiative. Mm-hmm. Guess what? Isn't that good news? That means a sinner can be blessed as well as a believer. Here's the difference. One is the uncertainty of wealth, and the other is the certainty of your wealth. Because what man gives you, man can what? Can take it away. But what God gives you, man can't touch. You know, Carol and I figured out one time, I can't remember all the figures. Carol and I got to sit down and figure out, gee, what if all the families we had in our church tithe? My gosh, our mortgage would be paid off. And we wouldn't worry about taking up offerings for missionary work. You know what would happen? We would send them carte blanche. We could refocus our effort, especially in the missionary department, and send people without getting little gimmicks going and things like that, because everyone is doing their part. Do you know what? You know what an offering, you know where an offering's found, people? You know where an offering's found? Well, Malachi. Most of us know that because somebody said we were ripping God off financially. And that is not true at all. You cannot rip God off financially. Well, then, where is the offering mentioned? You guys, I'm glad you're really that interested. If you're not, you'll leave. Tithing is a local body's effort to pool together resources to accomplish the work of the ministry and the vision put in the heart of a pastor. Where offering is what goes beyond the normal needs of the local body, even to meet a need outside that body. You'll find the offering mentioned in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. Paul was raising an offering for the poor folk in Jerusalem. Why were they the poor folk in Jerusalem? Because they kept hanging around Judaism. That's true. They were Judaizers. And God had a little bit of mercy on him and said, Paul, you're the only one that's freed up here. Take an offering for him. So, where did the tithe go for a converted believer? It went to a household that supported what we term today a what? What do we term them today? What do you term a house meeting? Huh? Church. A local church. Well, back then they didn't have a local church, but what they did is they gathered together as believers and took up the tithe to support the work. The priesthood changed. The priesthood changed. If you want to go back to Judaism, then think about who you're going back to give to. You're going back to give to the what? To the priesthood according to the order of Aaron. Because in Numbers 18, they were commanded, the Levites were commanded to receive tithes from the people and take and pay one-tenth of that out of their tenth to Aaron. Well, Aaron and Moses, are you following me? Now, we're going to close on this. We're going to go over and we're going to look at the manna in Exodus 16. And I'm going to give you a little clue. The issue of the manna. Are you ready? Was after Abraham. The issue of the manna was after Abraham. You know what God did? Now this is going to blow some of your theology. It's going to cause your head to lock up because I know where the prosperity teachers have been coming from. But God made a decision to provide for the people of Israel in Exodus. In the Exodus. That means coming out of Egypt to the promised land. God made a decision in that time period. You ready? That he was going to do something for them. You know what he was going to do? He was going to let everybody, by example, live off of what heaven would provide them. And guess what heaven provided for them? For their daily living. Can anybody tell me? Huh? Manna. Manna is what is it? You know what manna is? It said every man, woman, and child was commanded to one omer a day, and that's it. One omer. You know what an omer is? It's a part of an ephod. Somebody said, well, what's an omer? And again, what is an ephod? This is an ephod. Amen? And here's the omer of the ephod. The word omer means tithe of ephod. So God said, okay, if I established with Abraham one-tenth to my priests, and he agreed to it, he says, I'll take care of your people that are in your womb When I bring them out of Exodus, I will provide one-tenth of heaven to them. God wouldn't ask you to do anything He wouldn't do. God didn't give them the cattle on 1,000 hills because each and every individual needed their sustenance daily. And God did it by example. He tithed them daily to teach them something. And guess when the manna stopped? When they crossed the Jordan into Canaan. And God sets up, see Jericho? Yeah. Joshua, that is the first fruits of the entire land. It's mine. Throw a net over it. Belongs to me. No one's to touch it. And mine. Me. Mine. Joshua said, good. And guess what happened when somebody touched the accursed thing? That the word accursed is confusing. It's really the devoted unto God. Guess what it affected? It affected Achan and his family. Did it not? No, it did not. It did not affect Achan and his family. It affected the whole nation of Israel. Even to losing the 39 soldiers they wanted to keep. Why? Sin was in the camp. Which is a type of something. It means that when you withhold from giving to the Lord, it affects the whole body. We're a team together. When we get to heaven, and you've been a member of this church, you're going to have to give an account how you supported it. And you know what? When I begin to see this, I start crying out to God, and I said, God, I says, I want a memorial in heaven. In my giving too. Who got recognition for their giving? Who? Well, the widow, yeah, but somebody else, remember? Peter was to go to somebody? Cornelius. His household. Jesus said, hey, I got a memorial up here for this guy. And it was all centered around his giving. He says, I'm going to bring him salvation. And what happened? What happened? Cornelius and his whole household got saved. And he didn't have a problem giving. You know what the book of James is, people? Not once in the book of James, the whole book is about the influence of money gotten into the church. And never once was the issue of the tithe or the offering ever brought up. Why? Because the writer is emphasis of what money was doing to those that belonged to the church. Because the church was tithing. They were just like the ones who gave before the widower. They were giving. They had accomplished their tithe and therefore they were righteous. I'm going to tell you something. When the church of God is blessed, we can turn and not only bless the kingdom of God, but bless His people to whom the need is evident. Did you guys get something here tonight? Hallelujah. You see, the devil, what he wants to do is he wants to disrupt the financial system of the world. Do you know that both parties that are trying for your vote, that both of them always bring up the issue of money? They want you to choose how you're going to vote by who's going to save you the most money, which means that our whole government structure is predicated on the issue of the unrighteous mammon and not on the basis of morality. There's something wrong with this picture here. Satan is the god of this world. And I'm seeing someone. People, if you don't see summer is nigh, there's a problem here. Because now they're meeting November 15th. All these officials throughout the world, they got to set up some kind of monetary system where we all flow together financially. Uh-oh, Bible. Oh, Bible, end time Bible stuff. Uh-oh. People, you're living in the greatest time period that you could possibly live in. You're going to see where history is made. And I'm going to tell you something. The reason that the demonic powers are after the almighty dollar is because he wants to strain the closeness of God's return by squeezing the church's dollar from them rather than having it invested into the kingdom. It really, the bottom line is God's dollar. And he gets at your heart for it. Do you guys get something here today? Father, I thank you that Jesus is our high priest. He's whom we give to. Yes, to hear men that die receive the money. But Father, they're really given to you. And I thank you that the covenant has changed. And along with it, the priesthood. And Father, may our hearts knit closer to you than ever before. And Father, we know that the time is coming down. These are the final days. And when money motivates voters, I pray that you as voters do not allow money to motivate you, but what the will of God is for our life. And so, Father, today may the blessings continue to fall on your people as they act on the word. And Father, if they don't even have the tithe, Father, encourage them to give something. Because that is acting on your word to give an increase to it. Father, don't let them rob you of pouring out a blessing on them. Don't let them rob you of it. Hallelujah. In closing, if there's anybody here that has never given their heart and life to Jesus and would love to, we want to open the altar up for you, and we'll wait for you after we dismiss the service. We'll have altar workers here to minister to you and give you the information you need so you can succeed in your walk with the Lord. And if you don't have it settled in your heart that you're saved, we want to do that also. So with that said, you're dismissed.